All right, Jude 20 through 25, we will read again what is written to the believers. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Tonight we are going to look at hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, or hating the spotted garment, to shorten the title. Remember, as we deal with those who would corrupt the church, the believers who would bring in or who would stand opposed to ungodliness, lasciviousness, and denying that God has a right to tell us what to do, are often said of one of these creepers, they have a good heart. That is a common phrase. So you've got people that are coming in, trying to bring in ungodliness, trying to bring in lasciviousness, denying that God has a right to tell them what to do, denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And people stand by and say, but they're a good person with a good heart. And so, while we cannot judge the heart of man, I do not know the motive of a man. I can't judge motives. We can look at actions. We can look at words. We can't look at thoughts. We can't look at ideas. We can't look at what's behind it. We sometimes have to make judgment calls on things, but we cannot judge the heart. We cannot judge the motives. Let's pray. We'll look at the message this evening. Father, I ask that you would help me to preach your word. God, I pray that as a church body, as we deal with people, as we deal with lost people, as we deal with maybe fellow Christians who have fallen away, God, help us to remember that you have given us a clean garment. And Father, as we go into the world to deal with people, as we try to win people, as we try to help people, God, help us to keep our garment clean. Help us to hate the garment spotted by the flesh. And God, I pray that you would help me to preach this message tonight, that, Lord, it would have an impact upon us, that it be a warning to all of us of how easy it is for us to slip away. How easy it would be for us in our flesh to backslide. How easy it would be for us to get spots on our own garments. And so, God, I pray that you would help us through your help, through your power, to be clean. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Here was a case where Samuel had gone. He was going to anoint a king whom God had chosen at this time. And he starts beginning looking at the sons of Jesse. And the oldest one steps up. He's a little more filled out. He's got some muscles built up. He's a little taller. And David says, wow, that'd make a good king. And God says, but I see the heart. And the heart is not right. So God was not going to use the tallest. He was not going to use the most muscular. God wanted a man after his own heart. And God chose the youngest son. God chose David. And he chose him based upon the fact that God could see the heart of the man. Now, David was not perfect. And David did not have a perfect record. But as a whole, David continued following God and had a heart toward God and was a man after God's own heart. We cannot see the heart, so what do we have to go by? outward appearance or actions or words. All we have a view of is the outward. In Nehemiah 11:16, just so that you're aware, there is an outward work. Nehemiah 11:16, the Bible says, "And Shebathai and Jozabab of the chief of the Levites had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God." So there is definitely an outward part, an outward business, outward dealings, outward things that we look on. You know, we can't see where things are coming from, but Jesus made the statement, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And as we look at that and understand that by their fruits ye shall know them, we cannot know the heart, but we can look at the fruit. An apple tree that only produces rotten apples, we would look at that and say, there's something wrong with the tree. We may not know what's wrong with the tree. But eventually we look at it and say, this tree does nothing but produce rotten apples. And so as we deal with these men, we must be watching over the outward business of the church because we can't see the hearts of the people. And so there are outward things that we have to deal with. When a person comes about and they speak heresy, we can't see the heart. We can't know whether they are sincere, whether they are sincerely deceived, or whether they are purposely misusing the scripture. Right? Sometimes we don't know. And we have to take that into consideration. But what we do know this, we don't know whether their heart is genuine or not, but we can and must react to the spotted garment. We can look and say, wait a minute, that's a spotted garment. And we are to hate even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. And when spotted garments appear, we can recognize, well, hey, that's a spotted garment. That's something that we can see. We can't see what's on the inside, but we can see the effects on the outside. When a person declares that immorality is really not all that bad, we do not know their heart. We do not know where it's coming from. We do not know necessarily their background. But one thing we do know, that's a spotted garment that doesn't line up with the scriptures. And so what do? We look at it, we assess it, we say, look, I don't know what the person's thinking. I don't know what's going on in their head. I don't know how they were brought up. I don't know if they've never read the Bible. I don't know if they've never heard preaching that explained things. I don't know what's behind this, but I know this, there's a spotted garment on the scene. And we have to watch out for the spotted garments. In Jude 23, I want you to notice, it says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Now, I want to take this and I want to look. Last week we looked at others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Using the fear of hell to point to a person's eternal destiny and cause them to think, boy, I need to get saved. And that's a good thing. But I want to look at this in the other direction that I believe also is grammatically correct, "and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Others save with, others you deal with, having a healthy fear yourself because you understand that your garment could get spotted as you deal with this situation. That would go right along with Galatians, where it says, let's go there, Galatians chapter 6, where it says, "Bear one another's burdens." I'll get the exact wording. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." As we take, and sometimes there's a burden to be borne. Sometimes there's someone you need to come along and help. Sometimes a person has gone down into a deep sin and you need to come along and help them, and they want help, and they want help getting out of that sin. There should be a good, healthy fear, because as we step up there, we could get our own garments spotted. You know, if you're wearing a suit and a tie, white shirt, and you're getting ready to go to a funeral, and somebody walks out, they've just been working on a car and they're covered in grease. And they walk out, hey, haven't seen you in a long time, and they want to give you a hug. What are you going to do? You know what? You're going to protect your garments. You realize that that grease monkey can get you dirty. Evangeline comes up to me the other day with her hands had been in some, I guess they call it dirt. It was food that looked like dirt. Ground up Oreos and pudding, and her hands were fairly well covered. Poppy spin. I'm like, you know what? I would be absolutely thrilled to give you a spin, but not with those hands. I have clothes, and those clothes don't need that on them. We understand we need a healthy fear of our garments getting spotted. Go to Leviticus 13 with me. Leviticus chapter 13. I want to read you a little bit about leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13. There's a whole couple chapters on leprosy, and they're really significantly long. Leprosy was a big deal. It was incurable at the time. And so a leper was separated out. Notice what it says. Here it's talking about garments. And these garments have this disease of leprosy has gotten into the garment itself. Leviticus 13, 47 through 54 says this, "The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or the woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest." Now, I don't know whether the leprosy had gotten in and was eating the garment itself, or whether you've got greenish would be the pus coming from the leprosy, or reddish the blood from the leprosy. And I'm not sure which it is, but I know either way, it's not good. "The priest shall look upon the plague and shut it up that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or in anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look and behold the garment be not spread, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more." So there's a reaction that this disease has in the garment itself. Now, leprosy is a terrible disease, but I want you to consider, how many of you are familiar with Ebola? You get Ebola, and Brother Les Hawthorne, when he was here, he was talking about describing Ebola. He says, literally, you just begin to bleed through every part of your body, out of every pore, just blood. It gets so thin, it breaks down, and it just begins to ooze out of you. And he said, one drop of that is absolutely deadly. So consider this. Suppose someone were to offer you a free shirt, only worn for 1 hour by a victim of Ebola. It has a couple of tiny spots. We don't think you'll probably get Ebola from it. Yeah, I don't think I'm taking that shirt. Just a little spot. You know what? We would say, get that garment out of here. Burn it. Burn the sheets. Burn everything that's connected with that plague, with that disease, because it is so absolutely deadly. And that's what we need to be considering when dealing with sin. And when we come along and there are creeping men and we say, well, I'm going to try to reform them. You better be careful of your garments. And maybe somebody comes and they want help and you're going to talk with them and deal with them and try to guide them. Well, that's all good and that's all fine, but you better be careful of your own garments. Because the spots of the flesh are dangerous. 9 times in Leviticus 13, the word spot appears. Any sacrifice that would be accepted at the tabernacle had to be without what? Without spot. Jesus, when he was presented and he died on the cross, Jesus was the Lamb of God without what? Without spot. Without blemish. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, the spots of the flesh are a very dangerous thing. We all have a flesh. But in the fact that we have a flesh, if you're saved, God has given you a new spotless garment. That's a blessing. Let's strive to keep it clean. Do you value it? Do you value the righteousness of Jesus Christ? When he traded your sinful garment for his righteous garment, he gave you his righteous garment. Do you value that garment? Do you look at that garment and say, boy, Jesus gave me this brand new garment. He took my old garment that was fully spotted by the flesh, and he gave me this new garment. Do you value that garment? Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Boy, Isaiah is saying, God has given me a clean garment of salvation. God has given me his righteousness. And you think, what do you want to do with that garment? Do you want to go down and help somebody out of the mud? Well, there's a time and a place to help somebody out of the mud. But spiritually, we want to keep that garment. Spiritually, we want to, as we're helping someone out of the mud, it's like, look, I'll give you a hand. I'll do my best to help you. But I cannot let their sin rub off on me. There has to be a cleanliness about us. There has to be a righteousness about us. God tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Wow, that's a great thing. To have a robe made white by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we look and as we strive to see people get saved and as we strive to see Christians grow closer to the Lord, we need to remember we have a flesh too. And God has given us a clean garment. In Revelation 3 and verse 4, he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Here was a church, one of the seven churches of Revelation that the letters are written to, and he says, you know, there's a few people in that church that haven't defiled their garments. What is that saying? It's saying that somewhere along the line, there were some creeping men that came in with ungodliness, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, and it had infiltrated to the church to the point that there were only a few left who had not defiled their garments. Everybody else was dirty. And all we need to be careful. We need to watch ourselves. We need to value the garment of salvation, the garment of righteousness that God has given to us. We are told over again in Scripture, we are to stay unspotted from the world. 1 Timothy 6:14 says this, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a lofty goal, isn't it? Who's Paul talking to? A relatively young man in the ministry. Timothy, you're going to be dealing with some people that have doctrines of devils. Timothy, you're going to be dealing with people that misuse the law. Timothy, you're going to be dealing with some people that deal with vain janglings. And Timothy, as you go out in this world and you work to evangelize, he told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. But Timothy, as you go out and evangelize, you can't get spotted with the wickedness of this world. I want to point something out. It's a trend that I am seeing spike massively. Let me just ask you, what does the Bible emphasize when we look at helping others to grow? The Bible emphasizes two things. Does anybody know what those two things are? They would be preaching and teaching. That'd be an accurate assessment. Paul looks at Timothy and says, preach the word. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is there for us. He says, rebuke, exhort, instruct, reprove. But preach the word, preaching and teaching, preaching and teaching, preaching and teaching. There has been a vast, vast uprising of counseling. Now, I don't believe that God's against counseling. God talks about in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. God talks about the counsel of the Lord. But we better be careful that our counsel does not turn into something like what happened in the confessional booth of the Catholic priest, where we get down on the level and we're coming alongside, we're listening to everything that they did. Look, I don't have to hear everything that someone did and every sin they participated in order to point them toward Jesus Christ. And in order for them to get on the right path. And I'll say this, it is downright, I would say, dangerous to come along and, you know, here's this sin that I did and I was involved in this and this. And pretty soon, your mind has just been infiltrated. And guess who you are? Your flesh. Hey, you know what? Tell that to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. I'm going to teach and preach the word of God. I'm going to tell you what's right. And boy, the word of God is what you need to get out of this sin. I don't need a list of every sin they were involved in. I don't need to know the graphics of every sin, the details of every sin. But I'm seeing this. I get emails that come to the church email address, and I'm stepping into a full-time counseling ministry, and this person going into a full-time counseling ministry, and can we come and present our counseling ministry to the church? I'm like, the Bible emphasizes preaching and teaching. The Bible emphasizes going into all the world and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look, the Word of God can do the work. Again, I'm not opposed to, look, there's times when people might need some marriage counseling, but again, you better be careful. Just point them to the scriptures. The bottom line is this, the Word of God will do the work. What does it depend on? What kind of soil it finds? If the Word of God finds good soil, the Word of God will make the changes. If the soil's not good, it doesn't matter how many days of counseling a person gets. If the soil in the heart is not good, the Word of God will not have the effect. And so you can counsel until you're blue in the face, and truth be told, you can preach and teach till you're blue in the face too, but the heart has to be receptive to the Word of God. And without a receptive heart, what do you have? So as we come along, well, I'm all for helping people, picking people up, guiding them along, preaching the Word of God to them. But every one of us need to remember, here's a warning, we have a garment and we are in danger of having a spotted garment. Because you know what? I have the same flesh that that person that fell into that sin has. I could fall into the same thing they fell into. Anybody immune from sin here? So boy, we need to be careful. James 1:27 says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what God wants? God wants clean Christians. 2 Peter 3:14 says this, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You notice the word diligent? We must be on guard as we deal with either a person who is blatantly wrong, needs to be rebuked and corrected, or somebody that's fallen and needs to be picked up. Always, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. Boy, do we want God to change people? Absolutely. Always remembering the mercy of Jesus Christ and looking for that mercy. Always remembering to have compassion where it's necessary. But understanding, as we work in this world, I still have a sin nature. You still have a sin nature. And Jesus, praise God, gave us a clean white garment of salvation. So let's guard ourselves as we deal with others, realizing that could be me. That could be me. I've never been one to go back to the past and let's glorify the sins of the past. You know, sometimes people, they've got a story of how they got saved. Tell your story how you got saved. You don't have to go into the deep, dark recesses of that to let people know, here's who I was, this is who I am, God changed me. If you've been forgiven of sin, praise God. Where is it? In the past. Who forgot about it? God did. Why are we going to go and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it? Better be careful. Better be careful. We're to glorify God. We want to be careful we don't start glorifying sin. We need to remember somebody might be sitting out there that's backslidden, and they might be sitting out there and saying, well, I think it'd be kind of cool to try that. We don't know. And so we look at it and say, keep it clean. Keep your language clean. Keep your dress clean. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Be careful what comes in your ear gate. Be careful what comes in your eye gate. Be careful when you're dealing with people. At the same time, we need to deal with people. This isn't a, oh, let's isolate from the world. Can't do that. We still have a great commission. People still need the Lord Jesus Christ. People that have fallen do need to be restored. We just need to watch ourselves as we're doing that and remember that we have the same flesh they do. And so this is quite a challenge to us. And I'm not going to preach it, but let's read verse 23 and 24 again of Jude and we'll finish. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's next week. Lord willing. That's next week. And wow, thank Jesus. He's the one. Won't you get in your mind, oh, it won't happen to me. No. Jesus is the one. And that'll be the focus, and I think a worthy message to preach, because it's about Jesus. He's the one that gave us the spotless garment in the first place. He's the one that traded places with us. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep ourselves, let's hate the garment spotted by the flesh. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we ask that you would help us. God, maybe right now someone's dealing with a spotted garment. And God, a person does not get saved more than once. But from time to time, we sure need to come back and confess our sins to you so that you can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we know that salvation is once and for all, and it's eternal, and you can't lose it. But God, we sure see that some people can be in a church and they can have a spotted garment because the things of the world come back in and try to infiltrate back in. So God, I pray that you'd help us. God, just whatever you have for us tonight, I pray that each of us would respond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, you have something to come and pray about, I encourage you to come, talk to the Lord. How are your garments? Nobody knows your heart but God Himself. Sometimes we get playing with sin. How's your garment? Sometimes we have lost relatives and we're trying to win them to the Lord. Keep our garments clean. Sometimes we're surrounded by corruption at work and out in public. Let's keep our garments clean. Somebody comes along and says, I just need to confide in you. Let's keep our garments clean. All right. Book of Jude's good book. Coming to a close. What a message in this book. Goes through the whole of the Bible, really. It really does. And this is something we definitely need in our day and age, for sure. So, all right. Have a great week. Talk to somebody else about the Lord. Look on the harvest. Okay? Pull somebody out of the fire. Keep your own garments clean. Let's live for God this week. Do the best that we can. Invite somebody out to church. Stay in the book. All right. Have a good evening.